Vijaya Rat. Kutumba. Atatotre. Vijaya Ratha Kutumba Atatotre. Drittahai. Drittahaya. Rashmini. Touch. Tri Yekshaniya. Drittahoi. Rashmini. Touch. Trinekshaniya. Bhagavati. Ratir. Astu. Me. Mamurshor. Bhagavati Ratir Astu Me Mamurshor. Yam Iha Niriksha Hata Gata Swarupam. Yam Iha Niriksha Hata Gata Swarupam. Vijaya Rata Katumba Atatotre. Drittahai Rashmini touch Tri Yekshaniya. Bhagavati Ratir Astu Me Mumurshor. Yam Iha Niriksha Hata Gata Swarupam. Vijaya Rata Kutumba Atatotre. Drittahaya Rashmini touch Trinekshaniya. Bhagavati Ratir Astu Me Mumurshor. Yamiha Niriksha Hatagata Swarupam. Vijaya Ratha Kutumba Atatotre. Vijaya Ratha Kutumba Atatotre.
Drutahaya Rashmini Tachriyekshaniye.
Drutahaya Rashmini Tachriyekshaniya.
Bhagavati Ratir Astume Mumurshur.
Bhagavati Ratir Astume Mumurshur.
Yamaha Niriksha Hatagata Swarupam.
Yamaha Niriksha Hatagata Swarupam.
Vijaya Ratha Kutumba Atatotre.
Vijaya Ratha Kutumba Atatotre.
Drutahaya Rashmini Tachariyakshaniye.
Drutahaya Rashmini Tachariyakshaniye.
Bhagavati Ratir Astume Mumurshor.
Bhagavati Ratir Astume Mumurshor.
Yam Iha Niriksha Hata Gata Swarupam.
Yam Iha Niriksha Hata Gata Swarupam. Vijaya Ratha Kutumba Atatotre. Drittahaya Rashmi Touch Trikshaniyai. Bhagavati Ratir Astu Me Mumurshor. Yamiha Niriksha Hata Gata Swarupam. Mataji's chant. Vijaya Ratha Kutumba Atatotre. Drittahaya Rashmi Touch Trikshaniye. Bhagavati Ratir Astu Me Mamurshor. Yamiha Niriksha Hata Gata Swarupam. Vijaya Ratha Kutumba Atatotre.
nirikshaniya
trita haya rashmi tach nirikshaniye
bhagavati ratir astu me mumursor
bhagavati ratir astu me mumursor
yamiha nirakshya hatagata swarupam
yamiha nirikshya hatagata swarupam. Vijayarata Kutumba Atatotre
Dhritahaya Rasmini Tatriye Chaniye
Dhritahaya Rasmini Tatshadik Chaniye
Bhagavati
Ratir Astu Me Mumurshor
Yamiha
Niriksha Hata Gata Swarupam Vijay Arjuna Rata Chariot Kutumbe, the object of protection at all risk. Atatotre, with a whip in the right hand. Dhritahaya, controlling the horses. Rashmini, ropes. Tatshriya, beautifully standing. Ikshaniye, to look at. Bhagavati, unto the personality of Godhead. Rati astu, let my attraction be. May, my, mumurshor, one who is about to die. Yam, unto whom, excuse me, upon whom. Iha, in this world. Nariksha, by looking. Hataha, those who died. Gata, attained. Swarupam, original form. Translation. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. Please repeat. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A pure devotee of the Lord constantly sees the presence of the Lord within himself because of being transcendentally related by loving service. Such a pure devotee cannot forget the Lord for a moment. This is called trance. The mystic yogi tries to concentrate upon the supersoul by controlling the senses from all other engagements, and thus he ultimately attains samadhi. A devotee more easily attains samadhi or trance by constantly remembering the Lord's personal feature along with his holy name, fame, pastimes, etc. Therefore, the concentration of the mystic yogi and that of the devotee are not on the same level. The concentration of the mystic is mechanical, whereas that of the pure devotee is natural in pure love and spontaneous affection. Bhishma Dev was a pure devotee, and as a military marshal, he constantly remembered the battlefield feature of the Lord as Parthasarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna. Therefore, the Lord's pastime as Parthasarathi is also eternal. The pastimes of the Lord, beginning from his birth at the prison house of Kamsa up to the Masawa Lila at the end, all move one after another in all the universes, just as the clock hand moves from one point to another. And in such pastimes, his associates like the Pandavas and Bhishma are constant eternal companions. So Bhishma Dev never forgot the beautiful feature of the Lord as Parthasarathi, which even Arjuna could not see. Arjuna was behind the beautiful Parthasarathi, while Bhishma Dev was just in front of the Lord. As far as the military feature of the Lord is concerned, Bhishma Dev observed this with more relish than Arjuna. All the soldiers and persons on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attain their original spiritual form, like the Lord, after their death. Because of the causeless mercy of the Lord, they were able to see him face to face on that occasion. The conditioned souls rotating in the evolutionary cycle from the aquatics up to the form of Brahma are all in the form of Maya, or the form obtained by one's own actions and awarded by material nature. The material forms of the conditioned souls are all foreign dresses, and when the conditioned soul becomes liberated from the clutches of material energy, he attains his original form. The impersonalist wants to attain the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord, but that is not at all congenial to the living sparks, parts and parcels of the Lord. Therefore, the impersonalists again fall down and get material forms, which are all false to the spirit soul. A spiritual form like the Lord's, either two-handed or four-handed, is attained by the devotees of the Lord, either in the Vaikunthas or in the Goloka planet, according to the original nature of the soul. This form, which is 100% spiritual, is the sarup of the living being, and all the living beings who participated on the battlefield of Kurukshetra on both sides attained their sarupa, as confirmed by Bhishma Dev. So Lord Sri Krishna was not merciful only to the Pandavas, he was also merciful to the other parties, because all of them attained the same result. Bhishma Dev wanted the same facility also, and that was his prayer to the Lord, although his position as an associate of the Lord is assured in all circumstances. The conclusion is that whoever dies, looking on the personality of Godhead within or without, attains his sarup, which is the highest perfection of life. Vande ham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamstha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshabanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Pravave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dhinatarine Rupanuga Vidudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gora Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Badambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbaba Bomestvam Nirdesa Sajanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Boma Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Twishe Namaha Pancha tattvatmakam Krishna Bhakta rupa swarupakam Bhakta avataram bhakta kyam Namami bhakta shaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina bando jagatpate Gopesha gopika kanta Radha kanta namostute Jayatam sudato pangor Mama manda matergati Matsarva swapadambo jo Radha marana mohano Divya vrindaranya kalpa dramadha Srimad ratna gara singha sanasto Srimad radha shila govinda devo Prishtali bi sevya manusmarami Srimad rashara sarambi Vamshivata tatastitaha Karshan venu swaner gopir Gopinata shriyestunaha Tapta kanchana gaurangi Radhe vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu sute devi Pranamami hari priye Vrindaye tulsi devai Priyaye keshavasyacha Vishnu bhakti pradi devi Satyavachai namo namaha Sri Nishinga, Jai Nishinga, Jai Jai Narasingha, Pralada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa, Matsamo Nasti Papapma, Naparadi Chakashana, Parihare Pilajame, Kimbruve Purushottama, Yuvatinam Yata Yuni, Yunam Cha Yuvatau Yata, Mano Biramate Tadvan, Manome ramatam twayi Bhumau skalita padanam Bhumereva valambanam Twayi jata parananam Homeva shananam prabho Govinda balave radhe Pratyaye tamaham sada Twariyam iti janatu Govindo mam twayasaha Radhe vrindavanarishe Karuna vrita mahini Kripaya nijapadabja tasyam mayam pradiyatam Mande nanda vrajastrinam padarenum abhikshnashaha Yasam hari katogitam punati bhuvanatrayam Namashrestam manum api shachiputram atrasurupam Sirupam tasya gajam aruparim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivanamoho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi aradhana stridam danter idam jache puna puna srimad rupa padam bhoja rajoham syam bhave bhave hantaya madhira bala haridasya vayo yadrama krishna charanasparasha pramodha Manam tanoti sahago kanayos tayor yat paniya suyavasakannana kanna mulai Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vijaya Rata Kutumba Ata Totre Dritta Hoya Rashmini Tach Triyekshaniye Bhagavati Rati Rastu Me Mamurshor Yamiha Nirikshe Hatagata Swarupam. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. So the object of all vision is the Personality of Godhead. And of course, Krishna talks in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita about how his beauty and opulence is reflected even in the material nature. We see any wonderful creation in this world, and it's all wonderful in its own way. Then we think of Krishna. like of aquatics, I am thee. And of mountains, I am. Of immovable things, I am thee. Himalaya. Of men, I am thee. Monarch. I'm all devouring death. As death is a very wonderful thing. It's a law everyone has to follow, like it or not. All these opulences of Krishna are there. And Krishna says, Mata paratanam nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya mayi sarvam idam protam sutri manigana iva. That there's no one above me, no one more powerful than me, and everything in the world is connected by me. I'm holding it all together. Just like the thread that's holding together the pearls. If the thread comes out, the pearls just scatter everywhere, but everything's being held together. This Krishna, even in the material nature, it's his opulence. And there are three features of the Lord. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. He manifests, and he's advaya gyan tatva. He's one, he's non-dual, but at the same time, he's separated in three different features. As Brahman, the effulgence of the Lord, paramatma, or the localized feature of the Lord, who expands into every atom and is all-pervading within the universe. And then Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And according to the process that one employs to understand Krishna, one will perceive one of these features of the Lord. For the devotees, the unalloyed devotees, they desire to see the personal form of the Lord, Bhagavan. And this is their heart's desire. In the Sri Ishapanishad, the devotee is asking the Lord to remove the effulgence of his transcendental rays so that he can see his face, so he can see his form of bliss. So the devotees are satisfied just by seeing the personal form of the Lord. And there's nothing more beautiful to behold anywhere than this form of the personality of Godhead. He attracts everyone in the universe. In Goloka Vrindavan, when Krishna is present, then everyone becomes bewildered. Sometimes birds are flying in the sky and they just stop midair. They can't move. They're stunned. They don't even fall from the sky. They just stop because they see Krishna. And the water of the Jamuna, sometimes it begins running backwards. And living entities, everyone who sees Krishna becomes captivated, enamored. It's described how the deer, tears come to their eyes just when they hear his flute playing. And they stand stunned listening to the sound. Great sages and rishis, when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, then they also become stunned wherever they are. So this personal feature of the Lord is so attractive, even the Lord himself sees it sometimes. Described how in the marble palace, sometimes Krishna sees his own reflection and he thinks, who is that? So beautiful. Becomes so attracted to his own form. So everyone is attracted to the personal form of the Lord. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tatvam pushana pavrenu satyadharma drishteye. And this is the heart's desire of the devotees, to see the Lord and to be in his service. And artificially, the yogis try to see the Lord. They regulate the senses and they drill the respiration. But it's not as effective as the devotees who develop a natural love for the Lord. And their mind automatically goes to the Lord. Twai menanya vishaya maru matir pate sakrit. Ratim udvahata dada gange vaugam udanvati gange vaugam udanvati. Just like this, during the rainy season when the rivers swell up and they become so enlarged and they start rushing towards the sea that there's a flood and they can't be stopped. You try to hold the water back and it goes anyway. No matter where you dam it up, it'll come through. So when the devotees develop this affection for the Lord, then it can't be stopped under any circumstances. It flows towards the Lord. And we gave this verse earlier, and we just chanted it also, but it's very applicable in the natural state of attraction that's being described here by Srila Prabhupada, spontaneous affection. Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam chau yuvatau yata. Mano biramate tadvan, mano mam ramate tayi. He's saying in this prayer that let my mind find pleasure in being attracted to you, just the way young women are attracted to young men and young men are attracted to young women spontaneously. There's no training necessary, actually. It's just a fact of nature that this thing happens. They'll end up, in Shakespeare, there's the story of Romeo and Juliet. And even though they're from feuding families, the young boy and the young girl, they just run off together. They can't help themselves. And this is the nature of even in the material world, there's this attraction that goes on. It's natural for the soul. But the real form of that is to be attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the pinnacle of devotional life, is when one's mind is naturally attracted to Krishna and it wants to go to Krishna and can't be stopped. In fact, it's described how in the stages of advancement in devotional service, at one point the devotee has control of the mind, and whenever he or she notices that the mind goes somewhere else, then he has the power to bring it back. But there's a higher stage at which, even while engaged in normal activities, the devotee will notice that his mind has gone to Krishna and he has to bring it back because it's spontaneously attracted to Krishna. And this is the healthy state of the mind and the soul, to be attracted to the Personality of Godhead in this way. And just hearing these descriptions of Bhishma Dev, if we could place ourselves there, through the poetry of his language. And Krishna is known as Uttama Shloka. He's glorified with the most choice poetry. And actually, poetry is a better kind of language for understanding things, understanding Krishna, understanding God, than like mathematics or something like that. Because it's the language of love, really. And it's full of all kinds of subtleties. And by hearing this poetry, the descriptions of how Krishna's standing on the chariot, you can just imagine, place your mind there now on the battlefield and how it is there at Kukshetra. It's already described how there's millions of these gigantic warriors who are lined up against each other with ornate chariots and armor and huge elephants, horses, just the sounds that must make. And they're all charged full of energy to fight each other. And just how glorious Krishna looks standing on the chariot. He has a rope in one hand, and it's his right hand. He has a bridle rope. And then he has a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left. So he's holding a whip as Parthasarathi's driving Arjuna's chariot around. And described earlier in this chapter, Bhishma Dev remembers how he took Arjuna's chariot in between the two armies before the battle started. And then, of course, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna became unglued just before the battle. Krishna re-spoke that. And this was going on in the presence of everyone. Krishna was there, and they could see him. Uddhava says in one prayer, out of great humility, that, how fortunate are the demons. Because just before they're killed, they see the Lord coming down, standing on the shoulders of Garuda, just before their head is severed. So he's saying, out of humility, they're more fortunate than I am. This is the humility of a devotee. He's thinking like that. They're more fortunate than I am, that they get to see the Lord at the time of death. And so now, here's Krishna. He's on the chariot, he's holding a rope, he's got a whip, and it's described also how Bhishma Dev, due to his intense desire to see the Lord in that position, he's a servitor of the Lord. He's in this mood of servitorship, but he's also got this rasa of chivalry. And we talked about how there's actually these 12 rasas. There's Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. And then there's 7 secondary rasas, which include humor. Can you remember them all? Chivalry, humor. Here, you can look it up. Or maybe it's here already looked up. Humor, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and ghastliness. These 7 enter in to complement the other primary rasas when the devotees have their relationship with the Lord. And so the chivalry is there. And certainly it's maximized here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Great warriors fighting against each other. And Bhishma Dev desired to see the Lord personally. And it's also a fact that Krishna likes to fight sometimes. He likes to show his power and exercise his, you know, fighting abilities. But he doesn't fight with just anyone. So specifically, he likes to fight with the devotees. And they'll play that role to please him, just as Jambavan, who was during the story of the Shamataka jewel. It's a long story. But he was living in a cave, and he had come across the Shamataka jewel, and he had given it to his little boy. And when Krishna came down the mouth of this long dark tunnel, he came to the end of it and he found this little boy playing with the Shamataka jewel. Krishna had gone there to get it back, and he was standing over the boy. The nursemaid began to cry out, and Jambavan ran in, didn't recognize the Lord, and he started fighting with him because he just thought there was an intruder. And Jambavan had been a servant of Lord Ramachandra and had fought valiantly for many years. There was no entity stronger than him on the earth anywhere. So he fought with Krishna in that cave for 28 days. And after 28 days, Jambavan started feeling that he was losing his strength, that his limbs were getting tired, and he thought, this has never happened before. I've never become tired like this in fighting. I always win. And it came into his consciousness that this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead I'm fighting against. And the reason that it came into his consciousness then was because Krishna was pleased by his fighting. He wanted to fight. And Jambavan pleased him by the fighting. Just like Kurma, you know, he gets an itch on his back. And so they come and they get the Mandara mountain, they put it on his back and they scratch his back. The Lord likes to fight, he gets an itch on his back, they put a mountain and scratch it. So similarly, he wanted to fight. So when the Lord was pleased, Jambavan could understand that this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhi Hijivado Swayameva Spratyada. When the Lord becomes pleased with our devotional service, then he reveals himself. So Jambavan could understand this is the Supreme Lord. And he offered his obeisances. And he gave the Shamataka jewel, and he gave his daughter Jambavati. And Krishna went back to Dwarka. Everyone thought he had died in the cave. They waited only for 12 days and they went home morose. So similarly, Bhishma Dev, he also was in this mood of fighting with the Lord, and the Lord knew it and also was pleased with Bhishma Dev. So he rushed him on the battlefield, and Bhishma Dev made this happen by fighting so valiantly against Arjuna that it was Krishna's choice that he would either protect Arjuna and break his promise to go into the battle personally, or he'd have to let Arjuna die. So simultaneously, he protected Arjuna, he broke his promise, of course, but he fulfilled the desire of Bhishma Dev, and he rushed him on the battlefield. And there were actually wounds on the transcendental body of the Lord as arrows were flying. And of course, the body of the Lord can't be injured in any way. It's completely transcendental. But to increase this rasa and the vision of Bhishma Dev, he showed that there was, you know, flesh wounds actually from these arrows coming, his hair flying, chariot, you know, wheel in his hand, rushing him on the battlefield. And then Bhishmadeva, of course, took on all these arrows that basically pincushioned him to the ground. And Prabhupada mentions if they had actually been enemies, then he wouldn't have called for the Lord at the time of death to come so he could see his face as he was leaving his body. And that's just what he's doing here. He wants to see the form of the Lord and be fully conscious of him and looking him at the time of death. And so this is actually what the Srimad Bhagavatam says is the goal of life. Ante Narayana Smritihi, to remember the Lord at the time of death. This is what we're working up to. And there's a lot of work to do in this lifetime. We talked earlier in the class something about, you know, how it comes, how we come to this point of actually seeing the Lord or being conscious of the Lord. And, you know, it's nothing artificial. Narada Muni, when he was a boy, he got the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas when they came to stay at his house, the house of his mother, during Chaturmasya. And he rendered some service along with his mother, and also by their permission, he took the remnants of their food. After they left, his mother died, and Narada Muni, even though a little child, because he had become blessed by these devotees, he went off on his own and started walking around the whole countryside, sometimes in jungles, sometimes in deserts, sometimes in industrial areas. But he went around completely fearless, because he was now thinking only of how to attain the Lord. And he sat down in one lonely place and began to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord appeared to him. And at that time, all his material senses were suspended, or actually enlivened, because the senses we have now, they're only senses, are spiritual senses, but they're covered over. Prabhupada used to give the example of our tongue. If you take gauze and you wrap your tongue many, many times with gauze and then try to eat a rasgulla, it's like you're eating a rasgulla, but you don't really get anything from it. It's not very pleasing, actually. No real taste is there. I have one godbrother. He actually sacrificed his body to try to save Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj when there was a terror attack. A few years ago, somebody had thrown a bomb into the assembly, and Bojadev was there, and he, you know, took the brunt of the blast that initially saved Maharaj, and he had to have a lot of surgery and things. I see him every time I go through Bangkok. He's an expert cook, but now because of the blast, he can't taste anything. He always says, it's amazing, now I'm a cook, but I can't taste. And we're like, in the material life, the original senses are there, but we can't really taste anything. The taste is very small. We're only getting just the superficial scratching sensation. But the real senses are spiritual, and they can enjoy, in connection with the Lord, ananda. They can swim in this ocean of ananda. So that's what happened all of a sudden to Narada Muni. When he was meditating, all of his senses became awakened, his spiritual senses. And it was as if he was floating in an ocean of bliss, completely unaware of the material world. You can imagine this type of pleasure Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, yam labha chaparam labham. He says, once somebody tastes this pleasure, he sees there's no greater gain than this. In fact, once tasting this, he'll want nothing to do with the material world anymore. He'll only desire this. Because he sees the superior pleasure. We're pleasure seekers. And when we taste that, then our life becomes dedicated towards finding it again. Narada saw the Lord. He tasted this pleasure. And then the Lord disappeared. And so did his spirit, his ananda. And there he came back into his worldly senses. He couldn't see the Lord. And then by mechanical means, he started to do his breathing exercises, do his Ashtanga yoga, fix his mind, and try to get that vision of the Lord back. He was so perturbed after he had seen it, and then he lost it. So he was trying and forced the Lord to come back into his mind. And then the Lord spoke to him in an unembodied voice and said, I've given you some special mercy. But those who are not perfect, they can't see me. So now you have your work cut out for you. So we may have that kind of experience also, that we get some taste. Everyone has had some taste. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We'd be somewhere else. I mean, who comes and, you know, spends the morning doing what we do, chanting and hearing? Everyone's had some taste from this. That's Krishna's mercy. Some special, as we say, it's like a sample. Sometimes people give out sample, little sample of a cookie or something like that, but you only get a little piece. And, oh, I have another one. Now you got to buy it. I used to see them on the street corners in Chicago. They'd give out little packets of these, the new candy bar, and people would rush in to get their free candy bar, but they were just tiny little piece. And then afterwards, and they say, okay, now you go down the street, you can buy it down in the store. So we get some taste, but then we have to actually apply ourselves in the process. And at some times, we may not have a full taste, and we may go on with our devotional service out of faith. Aslishava paravatam pinashtumam adarshanam marma hatam karotuva. We may not have any darshan at all at some point. But the mood of the devotee, as expressed by Lord Chaitanya in the Shikshashtakam, is whether I get that taste fully or whether I don't get that taste, whether I'm seeing you or I don't see, I'll go on as your eternal servitor. And, of course, Narada Muni at the time of death, his full contribution to a life of devotional service, at the time of death, when he gave up his body, it was simultaneously he took on his spiritual body. Just as he left his body, he attained his spiritual body. So Krishna says, janma karma cha me divyam evam yovati tatvataha tatva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. To those who understand in truth the nature of my transcendental appearance and activities, when they leave this body, they don't take another material body, but they attain to my nature, Krishna says, to my spiritual nature. So demons attain that just by being on the battlefield and glimpsing the beautiful body of Krishna before they die. What to speak of devotees who dedicate their whole lives to fixing their minds on Krishna, bringing their mind back, always trying to stay in company with Krishna. Krishna says, without a doubt, these devotees, they'll come back to me. In fact, in the Sri Ashupanishad, there's a prayer by some devotee. And he says, Vayura nilam amritam atedam bhashmantam shariram om krato smarakritam smara krato smarakritam smara. Let this temporary body be burned to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. And Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport that actually it's not necessary for the devotee to pray like this, because the Lord knows everything we've done, our full contribution to devotional service, and he knows our intention that we want to remember him. And on a morning walk, the devotees were asking Prabhupada about remembering the Lord at the time of death. And Vishnu Janaswami asked this question about yang vapi smaran bhavam tadat yante kalevaram, where Krishna says, whatever you remember at the time of death, that you'll attain. So he said, what if we're not able to remember Krishna at the time of death? And Prabhupada said the same thing there as he does in the purport of this verse, Vayura Nilam Amritam. And that is, those who fully contribute their lives to devotional service, if for some reason they can't remember Krishna at the time of death, then Krishna will remember them. And he will force himself into the mind of the devotee so that he'll remember. And so the devotee shouldn't worry. Krishna says, just surrender unto me, Masuchaha, and don't worry. I will protect you. I will be there for you. I'll carry what you lack, and I will preserve what you have. So the process of devotional service means, as Rupa Goswami says, and as Prabhupada mentioned in this purport, to constantly remember the Lord throughout our lifetime, to practice this. Tanama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja. Practice surrounding ourselves with transcendental sound and hearing about the Lord, remembering the Lord, and it's very pleasurable. Actually, for those who have a taste for this, they don't want to do anything else. It's just the whole material existence, it becomes like some dry piece of bread. You know, you get a piece of bread and it dries out and it just there's nothing in it anymore. Maybe it's sat there, it was behind something, and it's completely unappealing. It's for those who have a taste for transcendental things, topics, hearing about Krishna, seeing Krishna's form, smelling the incense in the temple, and actually take pleasure in these things, material life becomes dry like that. It's not even a matter of sensual restraint from the material world, because it becomes dry and unappealing for the devotee who's always eager just to hear about the Lord and to see the Lord's forms. And this is real life, to come to this position. And this is the life of the devotees who travel with the Lord everywhere. As is mentioned here, they're going on a cycle from one universe to the next, this traveling road show that Krishna has, performing his pastimes over and over and over again. And Prabhupada used to say that just like if you get on a plane, just like when you fly from Tokyo to San Francisco, you get on the airplane at about, at least the flight I take, you usually get on at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the sun's just starting to go down in Tokyo. And then you're flying along with the sun, so of course they close all the shutters, but if you open it, it's always light. It's light, it's light, it's light, light, and by the time you land, it's, you know, 10 in the morning. So Prabhupada said, if you fly in this plane, and theoretically you just get on the next one and keep flying that way, it's always daytime. You'll never have to leave, you'll never have to be in darkness. So he said, similarly, if we stay in contact with Krishna all the time through hearing about his pastimes, then we'll never be in darkness. We'll always be in the light. It's just a matter of applying this science of how to keep contact with Krishna constantly. And then who can imagine what the blessings are from this kind of a life of dedication to thinking of Krishna? If even demons like Putana, who approached the Lord with ill intent, she wanted to kill him, and she had smeared her breast with deadly poison and then came before the baby, thinking, I'll kill this baby for Kamsa. That was her tendency, to kill little babies. But when she saw the face of Krishna, she realized that he was all-powerful. And something changed in her heart. And as soon as he began sucking her breast, he took the poison, took the milk, then her life air, and she was killed. But Krishna gave her this destination as one of his mothers in the spiritual world. So Uddhava exalts in this, that who could take shelter of anybody else besides Krishna, who's so merciful that even a demon like Putana, who came to kill him, was given this highest benediction because Krishna saw that, oh, well, she's my mother. And he took that best quality and left behind the worst qualities. He only accepted that. So the encouragement here is that our life of dedication, no matter how difficult it might seem at some times, is fully auspicious and will have its result. And Prabhupada has encouraged many times that no matter how difficult it becomes in devotional service, because there are difficulties in the material world, even the Pandavas, Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanada Satsabhaya Vanavasa Krichata Mrade Mrade Neka Maharatastrato Dronyastratas Chakshma Hare Birakshitaha. Kunti was remembering how the Pandavas had so many problems, one thing after another. Somebody offered him a nice summer home. Unfortunately, it was made out of flammable materials. And they planned the whole time to burn it down while they were inside the house. And when Bhima had a birthday, he was given a cake loaded with poison. Of course, he was, you know, he ate the cake, and then he fell in the water, and then he got bit by these snakes underwater, and it actually increased his strength to 10,000, the strength of 10,000 elephants. And when he came out, he was even more powerful than before. Duryodhan hated him. He was trying to kill him. And when he came back about a week later, he was all pumped up, ready to go with the strength of 10,000 elephants. They had a poisoned cake. They had a vicious assembly, where Draupadi was, they tried to dishonor Draupadi in a very dangerous situation. They were banished to the forest. They were princes. They deserved the kingdom, But everyone cheated them and sent them off to the forest where they had to live. And there they met man-eating Rakshasas they had to fight with. They were staying at the home of some Brahmins in this one city. And one day Kunti heard that they were the people of the house were crying in the other room. So when she came to find out why they were crying, it turned out that in that little city, there was an agreement that once every week, somebody had to sacrifice somebody in their family because there was a Rakshasa who had come in. He had been for years coming in and just devouring people in the city, and everyone lived in fear. So they made a deal with him that if we give you somebody on a regulated basis, we'll give you all the food you can eat on a huge cart, plus you get to eat the person who brings it, then will you not attack unannounced? And he agreed to that. So that's what they used to do. And then it turned out that the house that the Pandavas were staying at, where they were hiding, was the house of the people who had been chosen to take the cart and sacrifice a life in the house. So the father of the house was going to sacrifice his life and take the cart. And the mother of the house was crying, and Kunti said, well, why don't we just send my son instead? And they said, no, we can't do that. You're guests in our house, and he'll be killed. And she said, don't worry, we'll send him. And so they sent Bhima with this huge cart of food up this hill where this Rakshasa lived at the top of the hill, and he'd come rushing down. He'd eat all the food, and then he would eat the person who brought it. So Bhima was known as Vrikudar, which means wolf belly. He could eat so much. He was always hungry, no matter what. He was a voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks. Prabhupada said, we can also be voracious eaters too, as long as we're performers of Herculean tasks. He took the cart out full of this food, and he started pushing it up the hill. And the Rakshasa looked down, and Bhima was eating the food. He was eating the food because he couldn't resist as he was pushing the cart along to all his food. He started eating what was all the contents on the cart. So then the Rakshasa was really angry because he thought, what's the impudence of this mortal person? Actually, he wasn't immortal. His father was the wind god, and he was very powerful. So the Rakshasa rushed down the hill to grapple with Bhima, and Bhima didn't want to stop eating. So with one hand, he fought off the demon. And with the other hand, he kept eating. And when he had finished eating everything on the cart, then he pummeled the demon and killed him. And how did I get to that? The point was, they had troubles wherever they went. The Pandavas, these things were being mentioned by Kunti, that they weren't without troubles. You know, everywhere they went, they had to face insurmountable odds and, you know, grave difficulties. So Prabhupada was saying that we shouldn't become discouraged, that the Pandavas were pure devotees. And even Narada Muni mentioned this. He was saying that, how is this that your pure devotees are subject to so much trouble all the time? And he was kind of questioning Krishna. What kind of idea do you have in doing all this? But for the devotees, actually, the pure devotees like the Pandavas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, these kinds of difficulties make them depend more on Krishna. And just as if it's been dark and the sun comes up, then you appreciate it even more. Or if you're dying of thirst and you get some water, then it's even more pleasurable. So this is the way that the Lord deals with his pure devotees, because he knows this is their rasa, to always think of him, always take shelter of him. So he creates situations where they can take even more shelter of him. And in our lives, there will be difficulties. There will be trying circumstances, and not the least of which is death. Death will come to our loved ones. There's no question about it. Krishna says, when you're born, death is certain. And so it's a very difficult thing to handle when our loved ones are leaving this world. It can happen suddenly, or we can get some kind of, you know, news that somebody's dying or they have some illness, and then we have to deal with it. And it's a difficult situation also to know death is, you know, to deal with death, because we're so used to being alive and in this body. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj told us before he left that there's a point at which, you know, you're fighting the disease. He had cancer. And so sometimes you think, well, I'll fight it because then I can live and go on and do my service. But then there's a point at which you have to give up also and get ready to die. And when to do that, sometimes it's not altogether clear. I remember when Jayananda, he got ill. He had lymphoma. And of course, it was more the devotees were pushing him to go try another cure, go try another cure, see if there's something else you can do to save yourself. So to please the devotees, he really went and tried a couple more cures than he was really interested in himself. But when death comes, there are a lot of decisions to make. And even after you leave the body, you leave behind a lot of things that other people have to deal with too. One living entity has a lot of stuff, especially in this day and age. My mother passed away last year in February, and I just met with my sister a couple days ago. She was the executor of her estate, and I mean, she's still dealing with paperwork. If you die in February, in the third week, like she did, then Social Security, she was getting paid Social Security because she was older. If you didn't complete the whole month, you have to give back the Social Security check from February. And it's not easy to give it back. It's a lot of paperwork, you know. And that's just the beginning of it. I mean, there's all kinds of other things you have to do. You have to have death certificates to take to the bank, to switch over the account, to this and that. And, you know, it's got to be signed in a certain way. I was just thinking how one little living entity lives in the world and makes such an impact. And it's not easy leaving this world. It's not easy coming into it either. You know, being born is a big traumatic thing, isn't it? The mother has to carry around the baby for 9 months, and the baby comes out, and then there's so much you have to do to sustain the life of the baby, right? The baby's helpless, and you have to take care of her like every second of the day. You're listening, you know, to hear how she is. And that goes on for a long time. So life is really, it's a struggle, the material life. We're not compatible with this material energy. And then at the end, at the time of death, when we're preparing to leave the body, prepared or not, you know, it comes, and we have to deal with that situation. And there's many, many kinds of implications. So Bhagavatam says, Ante Narayana Smriti. The main thing is practice to remember Krishna at the time of death, because nothing else will save you. There are no external circumstances which will save you. Hiranyakashipu tried, and he was the best of the best of the demons, and he couldn't arrange it to beat death. So we know it's coming, and the best thing to do is see Krishna all the time. Keep Krishna in front of our vision, and always chant his names, his divine sacred names. Repeat them as much as possible. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Suke Duke Bulo Nako Varane Harinam Korore. Then whether you're happy or whether you're distressed, go on chanting. We have to practice, not just when we feel like it, or not just when we're doing our regulated rounds or something like that, but all the time, continue chanting and remembering and depending on Krishna. Of course, it's a good idea to start with this intensive regular practice. This is what we get our strength from. This is called numerical strength. And it's mentioned in the song by Srinivasacharya, Sankhya Purva Kanama Gana Natibi. When he mentions the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they had fixed up their practice every day. So every day they did their regulated chanting, their regulated hearing, and they had other devotional activities like worshiping the deities and bowing down to the devotees and to the Lord in a scheduled way. And we can keep that also. This gives us the strength to actually remember Krishna throughout the day. Have some fixed program every morning, fixed number of rounds. And especially, like Prabhupada was asked by one devotee about, where is it in Shastra about 16 rounds? Can we point to anything? Because, you know, sometimes you'll be in Vrindavan, somebody will say, you know, four rounds, somebody will say 64 rounds. You know, everyone have a different opinion. Of course, there are different acharyas and spiritual masters. And, I mean, the main principle is that one should take shelter of a spiritual master, but then the spiritual master might have, each spiritual master might have some different instruction. And those are called, starts with a D, details. They're called details. They could be slightly different from time. So Prabhupada was asked about, you know, where in Shastra does it say 16 rounds? And Prabhupada said, no, it's said that one should chant the holy name in a regulated way. And he quoted this, Sankhya Purva Kanama Gana Natibi. You should fix up a numerical point. And then the devotee said, oh, yes, that's right, Prabhupada, because I heard when you first came to America, you said 64 rounds. And Prabhupada said, yeah, that's true. He told the devotees, chant 64 rounds. And they couldn't do it. So then he said 32 rounds. And he noticed that they couldn't do that either, so he said 16 rounds. That's it. Fix it there. It's actually, I've noticed for this day and age, especially in places where everyone's working and everything like that, it's a robust activity, 16 rounds, for in general, across the board, for everyone to be able to do that and get everything else done that they want to do, that they need to get done in their life, right? 16 rounds. But if you fix it up and you make that strong in your life, then you'll get traction. And that regulated everyday dedication to a certain spiritual practice, this gives numerical strength. And whatever you do after that, you'll have superior intelligence to how to do it in such a way that it'll please Krishna. If you do your regular practice every day before you go on, make that your priority. If you make that your priority, then Krishna will make you his priority. And he'll give you special protection, you know, from doing that. So this is necessary for advancing in devotional life. We all live in houses and different places and have jobs and all kinds of obligations and things like that. So we have to fix ourselves up in a certain way. Bhaktivatsala Prabhu is leaving. Hare Bol! He came, he cooked, and now he has to go to work. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So fixing up a regular program every day, it gives great power. And over time, even if it doesn't seem significant, like even if you're not doing a huge amount, if you do it in a regulated way, it's like drops of water on a stone, and it'll gradually wear a hole. It'll wear the surface off, and then all of a sudden you'll notice a little bit of a indentation coming on the stone. And then after you'll look one morning and you'll go, like, there's a hole right through it. So the heart is, you know, steel frame, says the Srimad Bhagavatam. But this drip, drip process, taking every day, drip, 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 this sound is so powerful, it will break through the stone. So don't become discouraged and think, well, it's only a little bit, so therefore I won't do it. It doesn't make any difference. It makes a difference. And especially if we dedicate ourselves to it on a regular basis. And this is what's necessary for the human life, to take full advantage so that we can remember Krishna at the time of death. And if we do that, then our life is successful. And if we don't do that, Bhagavatam says, Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. If we don't please Krishna, if we don't remember Krishna, then any other success you had, it doesn't amount to anything. It just gets absorbed back into the Akashic records that, and it goes towards your karmic record. You didn't really do anything significant. But if you're fortunate enough, even if you're a complete loser in material life or not very significant and you don't really have anything huge to show for it, if you remember Krishna at the time of death, you're the greatest hero and you've attained the greatest thing. And we've seen a lot of devotees who have come in, like I mentioned the other day, our godbrother Kushakrata Prabhu, who was, he was a genius actually, but he was dysfunctional in society practically when he was growing up. And when he first came to the temple, everyone thought he was mad, and he was. But he stayed and he channeled all his sort of genius, mad energy into Sanskrit, and he wrote all these books. All he did was sit in a room all day and translate the Vaishnava literatures, hundreds of them. And then he started writing his own poetry in Sanskrit. I saw him learn Sanskrit, too. It took him not very long, he sat down in Mayapur one year with some books and started learning it and just picked it up. But at the time of death, I saw him in Vrindavan a few years ago and he was walking down the street. He didn't look too good. And I said, "What's going on? How are you?" And he pointed to his throat, and then it turned out he had throat cancer. And I think he went to the doctor once because the devotees pushed him so much, but he didn't take care. He just kept translating and translating. And about 3 days before he died, he called the devotees and said, "I think I'm going to die." So he went to a room there in Vrindavan in the MVT, and they put on a tape, and he just lay there, and no complaint, no nothing. He just remembered Krishna, and he left his body. And there are many other stories of devotees who have come into, you know, the ISKCON Society and have left their body, you know, remembering Krishna. I saw Sudama. He was a great servitor of Srila Prabhupada early on. A very jovial, wonderful devotee. And he helped Prabhupada start the project in Japan. It was miraculous. He went to Japan. He was a black-bodied devotee. And he came from a family of kind of like notable entertainers. And he was sort of like that himself, leading kirtan and dancing and everything. He was very expert at everything. He went to Japan and he picked up Japanese really quickly, and the Japanese loved him. He helped start the temple there. And then later on, he sort of drifted away from devotional service. But just before he died, the devotees found out that he had AIDS. So the time was getting short. Like he was going to die within weeks or maybe a month or something like that. So they fixed up a room for him in Los Angeles. And he went to Los Angeles, and a devotee named Omkar took care of him, waited on him and everything. And I just happened to be in L.A. at that time, and I went to visit him because we were old friends. And there he was. He was shaved up. He had his, Vaishnava tilak and everything really nice. He had pictures of Krishna on the ceiling so he could see, and Prabhupada was there, and the music was playing and everything like that. And in the last couple of weeks, you know, he totally, by Krishna's mercy, he was able to fix up his mind on Krishna when he left his body. And I saw that was special arrangement by Srila Prabhupada to special mercy. You know, the other thing, you dedicate your life to helping with this mission, and there's a special consideration that you get at the time of death too. Maharaj Katvanga is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he fought for the demigods for thousands of celestial years, and then on the earth, everything had moved on, all his family and everything had perished and everything like that, because he was on the heavenly planets and the time difference had destroyed everything. So the demigods said, "You know, you fought for so long, we'll offer you a boon, whatever you want, you can have." He said, "When am I going to die?" And they looked at his chart and they said, "You're going to die in a minute." It's just the way it is. And in that minute, he's famous for, in that last minute, taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He dropped everything and immediately took shelter and attained complete success. So Maharaj Katvanga is known as a great hero, not for his fighting, but for his taking shelter of Krishna at the last minute. So we should know that death is coming at any time. We don't know when it's going to be. It can happen, you know, hearts just stop sometimes. We take for granted that they're beating. Sometimes I'm lying down and I hear my heart beating and I'm thinking, "Hey, wait a minute. If it's beating on its own, it could stop on its own too." You know, really, we're alive by Krishna's mercy. And so anything can happen at any time. So this is real. I mean, what's happening, what we're doing is the real thing. Prabhupada says in the light of the Bhagavat, don't think going back to Godhead, don't take it as a plaything. It's real. It's all important. There's nothing more important. And everyone's vying for our attention. People want you to watch football. They want you to look at Coca-Cola. They want you to look at anything but Krishna. That's the material world. And Maya will always give some little, you know, glimmer. So we have to be fixed in our bhakti yoga by doing our practice in a regulated, fixed way. And when we have the opportunity, take full advantage of it. Because you never know, that might be your last opportunity to fix your mind on Krishna. And Krishna is very merciful. If we try for that, then he'll know what our intention is and he'll help us. Go Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Any last points or questions? Good. Then we'll have the Guru Puja. And after Guru Puja, we have Prasadam. Yes, Prabhuji. A microphone.
When Krishna killed Putana, so that killing, she got direct motherhood in spiritual world. So she had, this is her fortune of the previous birth or in that, in the same birth where she tried to kill Krishna. So what is the good fortune, means how she attained that motherhood in the spiritual world?
Yeah, it's described, it's almost the same as motherhood, what she got. It's a little bit different. It's sort of, she had a like a nursemaid or something like that with the mood of a mother, not exactly same thing as a mother. And she had been, in her previous life, the sister of Bali Maharaj. And when, what is that? Sister of the father of Bali Maharaj means? Balaraj's mother, father's sister? Is that right? She was an aunt? Okay, so she was an aunt. She was a relative of Bali Maharaj, like an aunt. And then when Vamandev came to beg from Bali Maharaj, he was very cute because he was a little dwarf and Krishna's the cute, as cute as they come. So she saw this little beautiful Brahmin dwarf and she became attracted to him as a mother, actually. And then when she realized that she had, that this little dwarf was not just a cute little Brahmin, but actually was Vishnu, and that he had cheated Bali Maharaj out of everything, she was furious, and she wanted to kill him. So in her next life, she came back as a nursemaid and tried to kill him. But at the last minute, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes how, even with this ill intent, when she saw the face of Krishna, before she tried to kill him, there was a moment where she was purified and Krishna accepted her because he accepts the best qualification and leaves the other ones behind. And that's why Uddhava said that he's the most merciful. Who would take shelter of anybody else? She expanded herself into her full form right after she was killed, gigantic form. And the residents of Vrindavan came and they found that little baby Krishna was crawling around on this giant demoness. And they were just amazed how this could have happened. They cut the body of Putana into pieces and they burned it. And there was a fragrant aroma that came from that because that indicates that her whole body, even though she was a demoness, was purified just by the touch of Krishna. She'd become pure. Done all right? Okay. Goprimanande Hari Hari Bol. So let's put all the books away and then we'll have a Guru Puja. Hare Krishna.